Welcome to Worldview Matters with Brannon House, your daily Christian talk program for Memphis and the Mid-South. Now, here's your host, Brannon House.
Welcome, my friends, to the program. Glad you are with us. And my guest today is going to be Ingrid Schlater. I'm hoping my engineer there got her number I just sent you. Yeah, he's going to get her. All right. Sorry about that, folks. Man, the straight line winds here just knocked me off the internet. It came back up. I don't know what the weather is like where you're at, but straight line winds are blowing through here. The lights are flickering. Hopefully, we will not go off the air. I want to talk to you today about religious pluralism going mainstream. Yesterday, I talked to you about occultism going evangelical mainstream. I mean, we were talking about the labyrinth and walking a labyrinth and what that's all about and how it has its heritage and foundation in the occult. But now churches are building their own labyrinth and walking it. We talked about that in contemplative prayer. Well, I have told you again and again on this program to expect the day when those of us who teach and promote the exclusivity of Jesus Christ will be in the minority. And things are happening faster than I can hardly keep up with. And again, I know a lot of you don't have the time because of your job and what you do and your kids and paying bills and grandkids and everything else. You don't have time to study and do all that I do, which is what I do for my job. I have the joy and the privilege of studying and then writing about these things, talking about these things, speaking about these things. And that, of course, is hopefully why you tune into this program. But it's happening so fast, folks, I can hardly keep up. And again, I have told you again and again, the day is coming when those of us who believe in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ will be in the minority. We will be criticized for not being tolerant. We will be criticized for being narrow-minded. We will be criticized for being too literal in our interpretation of Scripture, not broad enough, too old-fashioned. And I've warned you again and again to be careful with some of these well-known people and their books and their conferences, and don't jump on every bandwagon that comes along without knowing where it's going. And to really watch these people before you start promoting them and endorsing them. Because they generally start out sounding pretty good in order to get your attention, get your trust, get a following. And then what do? They show their real colors. And one of those people is none other than Rick Warren, who again, almost on a weekly basis, seems like he cannot avoid showing another liberal side of himself. It's on a weekly basis. I get tired, quite frankly, of talking about Rick Warren. I wish we could ignore him and never talk about him again. I find him to be a very dull individual. I find nothing there about him that intrigues me. I find him to be very intellectually stunted when I listen to him on the radio or television. There's nothing about the guy that even I want to talk about. But 30 million people have gone out and bought his book. And everyone thinks he is the best thing since sliced bread, almost everybody. And now he's using all of this wealth and popularity and his connection to Fox News Channel, Rupert Murdoch, to promote something that impacts every Bible-believing Christian. And so I have no choice but to talk about this guy again. Because here he is promoting what can be seen as nothing less than what he calls it himself, religious pluralism. With that said, let me join to the program someone who has written about him quite a bit, has her own national radio program and website, sliceoflaodicea.com, Ingrid Schlater. Ingrid, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Brannon. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for making time on such short notice, but this is kind of breaking all over the internet today. I mean, I've gotten several people that have emailed this to me. It just seems to be kind of like this popped up today, didn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Yesterday morning, I noticed it for the first time. The Christian Post was reporting, fresh after it happened, that Rick Warren had been at National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., and the headline on the news story said, Rick Warren, mainline church problems need evangelical solution. Basically, he was calling for the reconciliation of mainline churches and evangelicals to counter the mounting problem of membership decline within these mainline churches. And so that opens up a whole new interesting battle, because apparently Mr. Warren feels that we can reconcile with those who have abandoned the core doctrines of Christianity and the faithful gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you right now, there will be no reconciliation between truth and error, no matter what Rick Warren is calling for.
Now, what does he mean by mainline churches, Ingrid?
Well, what he's referring to are the churches that abandoned 100 years ago in the big battle for truth that took place in our seminaries. One of the archetypal situations was Princeton Seminary, that at one time produced many, many hundreds and thousands of godly, God-fearing, preaching Christian pastors, but embraced higher criticism, embraced liberalism, modernism, as it was called at that time, which basically questioned the cardinal doctrines of the faith, the authority of Scripture. Those churches that went along with that liberal theology became known as the mainline churches, and those that separated from that back then were known as evangelical churches, or in some cases fundamentalist churches, but they moved away from this apostasy that was burgeoning at that time. And so that's what Rick Warren's talking about. The ELCA Lutherans, for example, the United Methodists, the Episcopalians, those are some examples of churches that are considered mainline.
And he wants evangelicals such as himself, and of course that's a word that, as I said yesterday, has been totally destroyed. I have to refer to myself now as a conservative Bible-believing Christian, because I'm not going to call myself an evangelical and be put in the same camp with Rick Warren and Robert Schuller and the rest of these guys.
Right. Right, and yet at that time, evangelicals were the ones who stood against. The name evangelical at one time was the hallmark of those who stood against the apostasy, against the liberalism, and stood for the Word of God. And so it's a shame that term has been so destroyed today by men like Rick Warren. But let's just remember the historic context of that word originally. It did mean something very good.
So he wants to call for all of the, quote, evangelical churches now working and bringing together a oneness with the mainline churches that denied the essential Christian doctrines, many of them long time ago.
That's right. And this is
for what purpose? I mean, what is he wanting to accomplish?
Well, he claims that they want to keep the mainline churches from dying in this article. He was speaking there at a forum at
National. Oh, no, let's not let apostate churches die. That'd be horrible. We need to keep these apostate churches around. They're doing so much good.
Well, he diminishes what all of that battle for truth 100 years ago means. And he said this very clearly at the Sunday Forum, Critical Issues in the Light of Faith, where he was speaking at the cathedral there with the dean of the cathedral. He says the reconciliation is that in a pluralistic world, we Christians need to be on the same team because we share the same Savior, end quote. Warren contended Sunday as he spoke with the dean of the Washington National Cathedral. He went on to say, 100 years ago, the phrase social gospel first came out. Warren responded, some people took that to mean only if we reform the social government and society and not personal faith in Christ Jesus. That is, if we make the world a better place, we don't need personal redemption. That idea led to mainline churches going one way and evangelical churches the other way, he said. Then he turned around and he kind of diminishes his that by saying, well, you know what, if we could bring both wings together, you know, God needs both wings to work together in order to accomplish his kingdom. What I want to know about that is, how can you have an apostate wing, a crippled wing, a dead wing, and a wing that's very much alive? I mean, that's one bird that's not going to fly. But he is ignoring what those battles really were about. It wasn't just a case of, well, the soup kitchen Christians went over here and the tract handing out Christians went over this way, and now we need to bring them together and we'll cover all the bases. It was much more serious than that. It was light against dark. It was error against truth. And what was at stake were the millions of souls of people in these churches, these liberal churches, who were never going to hear the clear gospel.
But he was saying that, at the beginning of that quote, did you say that he says that evangelicals and these mainline churches have the same Jesus?
Yes, he did. In fact, that's a quote. Let me just get that exact quote.
Give that to me one more time, will you?
I sure will. He said, I'm just going to find that exact quote here. I'm sorry.
Because the point I'm making is this, Ingrid. We do not have the same Jesus.
Right.
If you listen to them describe God or Jesus, according to their theology or their doctrine, they have a God, they have a Jesus or a God that's of their own making, as if they had crafted him out of wood or wax. It is not the Jesus or God of the Bible, which is why we have had to split away from them. They don't believe
that's
exclusivity of Jesus Christ to the degree we do. They don't believe. They believe more in a New Age type Jesus in many instances. It's not the same Jesus of the Bible.
That's right. Here's the exact quote. The reconciliation is that in a pluralistic world, we Christians need to be on the same team because we share the same Savior. No, we do not, Mr. Mm-mm. Warren. I do not share the same Savior with the Episcopal pastor who became a Muslim, cleverly found out how to become a Muslim while retaining her clergy credentials in the Episcopal Church. That was a Seattle Episcopal pastor out there. I don't share the same Savior with this woman. Do you share the same Savior, Brannon, with the pastors of her church out in San Francisco, ELCA Lutherans, where they have goddess rosaries and they pray, Our Mother who is within us, we celebrate your many names? We do not share the same Savior.
Absolutely. No, absolutely not. That is paganism.
That's correct.
It is worship of Mother Earth. It all fits into this whole, what's this whole popular movement called? It's got a name, this feminine God. What
goddess
is this movement?
Theology, yeah. Feminist theology is real big.
Feminist theology. Yeah, this is not the same God. This is not the same Jesus. And yet he says we have the same Savior. We don't have the same Savior. And do I have the same God in Jesus that allows them to practice their homosexual lesbian lifestyles and be, quote, ordained? Yeah. No, I don't know what kind of Jesus or God they're listening to that allows them to put that into their worldview and then square it with Scripture. We don't have the same Jesus or God. We don't have the same Savior.
And yet that didn't stop Rick Warren from standing up in the pulpit. He preached at the 11:15 service this last Sunday at National Cathedral. I have photographs of Tibetan monks worshiping in that same cathedral. I have photographs of women dancing in sacred circles, a term that comes from witchcraft, from a conference that dealt with goddess theology, that taught the Jewish Kabbalah, that taught Buddhist meditation techniques. That same church is going to be featuring Dr. Peter Gomes from Harvard Memorial Church coming up in May, open homosexual, a radical, radically antichrist in his doctrines. And yet here stands Rick Warren talking about...
Was he there? Was that guy there as Rick was speaking?
No, I'm talking about Peter Gomes will be there in May. They're bringing in these various speakers here at National Cathedral. They don't
care. Rick's one of them.
Yep, Rick's one of them, yeah.
And it'd be one thing if Rick was going there and calling them to repentance, but that's not what he's doing, is he?
He did not go there to share the gospel. In fact, I can tell you that his sermon is available online. You can watch either video or the audio from his message there. And then he followed it up. Previous to the service, he was speaking at this forum where he sat down with the dean of the cathedral and talked about his dream of pluralism and how he wants to see all of this come together. He used that term, actually, in his quote.
Yeah, let me give you the quote right from the Cathedral Sentinel. This is from the Washington National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Their own website says, Warren says that he recently told a group of business leaders, quote, the future of the world is not secularism, it's religious pluralism. The world is becoming more religious, not less. Christianity is growing around the world at a rapid pace through conversions, and Islam is growing at a rapid rate due to births. We're going to have to minister in a context where we learn how to get along, end quote. Hello, Rick. Did you forget about 9/11? We have a hard time getting along with Muslims that want to kill us and behead us. But then again, I don't expect you to understand that, Rick, because you, my friend, are signing a letter along with your other far-left socialist emergent church friends like Bill Hybels, and who's bringing in Bono up on the big screen of his conferences with his coexist message with the crescent moon, the Star of David, and the cross, saying all religions are equal. And Bono, who chants at his concerts, Jesus, Jew, Muhammad, all true. Jesus, Jew, Muhammad, all true. And here's Bill Hybels interviewing him, throwing him up on the big screen at his leadership conference. Bill has signed this letter along with Rick, along with Shuler, along with Brian McLaren, who says the cross and hell are false advertising for God, that we can get along with Muslims because we worship the one true God and we should love our neighbors as ourselves, and those two things we can agree on. So I don't expect you, Rick, to understand that we cannot learn to, quote, get along with Muslims in the context of biblical Christianity, much less we're having a difficult time getting along in the context of civil government and being each other's neighbor here in America.
Yeah. Well, you know something, there are a lot of people in history that could have saved themselves an awful lot of trouble if they would have simply adopted this let's all get along mentality that Rick Warren is talking about. How about Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, who were burned at the stake in the 16th century because of their faithfulness to Christ? They were burned by Catholics, just so I wanted you to know that, because they stood up for a biblical view on several cardinal doctrines. They refused to recant, and they were burned at the stake. How about the French Huguenots, who were slaughtered like vermin by the Roman Catholic Church because of their stance on the fact that we come to Christ through Jesus alone. And so if those people had just had a get along attitude and a pluralistic view, I'm sure they could have saved themselves an awful lot of trouble. But what treason it is for us to sit here and talk about getting along with people when Christ himself said that they will persecute you, they will hate you because they hated me. That message is absent from Rick Warren's whole ministry.
I mean, it'd be one thing if Rick was saying, we need to reach out to the Muslims and share Christ with them. Mm-hmm. We need to reach out to the mainline churches and encourage them to come to repentance and understand who the Jesus of the Bible is, the uniqueness of Jesus Christ in a world of religions. Let's go out and let's share truth. Let's evangelize. Hey, let's even partner with Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron. Rick could say, I love what they're doing, and everybody knows who Kirk is. Why don't we all work together with their training, and let's equip millions of Americans, millions of Christians, to reach out to the mainline church members and share Jesus Christ with them. Let's go do that. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, let's take them where they currently are, where they live, the doctrines they teach, even though you and I have discussed that those doctrines are clearly opposed to Scripture, and let's find out how we can be pluralistic. You know, Don Wildman, this is an AFR station, Don Wildman has been very bold, as you know, Ingrid, as a former United Methodist pastor, to take on that denomination that he originally served in, to say, you know, we can't have the approval of the homosexual lifestyle. I mean, Rick is not doing and saying at all what Don Wildman has done and said.
Absolutely not. There's no confronting of the error. You cannot fuse the two, and this is what Rick's whole problem is. He believes the really demonic doctrine that was shown by all of the men like Karl Marx, who believed you could have a statement of truth and a statement of error. You could dialogue between the two and come out with a synthesis at the end that everyone could like. You can't do that. Scripture never says that. It says what concord, God says, hath light with darkness. What fellowship has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? There is no fusion of the two to find a third way where we can all just hold hands and sing kumbaya. That is not going to happen. It has never happened historically. And the only thing that can come out of this kind of a philosophy is a bastardized, completely perverted, apostate version of Christianity. And I would submit to you that's exactly what is forming out of this kind of leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll take your calls at 662-821-2020, 662-821-2020. Take a quick break here so I can get the labs under control. The labs are at the door. Why? Because a neighborhood kid is at the door. How many times do I have to tell the neighbors, do not send your kids to my house between 5 and 6 to ring the doorbell? Good grief. You know what it's like having your studio in the house, don't you, Ingrid?
Oh, yeah.
I've told these people, do not send your kids to my house to ring the doorbell between 5 and 6. But hey, what they're doing? I got a junior high kid ringing the doorbell between 5 and 6, and the labs don't like it. Of course, that's their job, to let me know that someone's here. So anyway, I'll get the labs under control, chase away the neighborhood child, and we'll come back to continue this discussion and take your calls at 662-821-2020, 662-821-2020. What do you think? Is it time for us maybe just to lighten up? Maybe Ingrid and I are just a little too old-fashioned. Sticks in the mud. Or should we be more for religious pluralism?
It's a vacation with a purpose. It's the 5th annual Worldview Weekend Family Reunion at the Tri-Lake Center in Branson, Missouri. It's a weekend of music with the Homeland Quartet and a weekend of Bible teaching with speakers like Dr. John Ankerberg, Alistair Begg, Kay Arthur, Dr. David Jeremiah, Dr. Norm Geisler, Dr. Ron Carlson, Jason Carlson, and Brannon House. There's plenty of time during the free time on Saturday to enjoy Branson. Family and group rates are available. This is a weekend for everyone from students to seniors and has been sold out in the past. The Branson Worldview Weekend Family Reunion is April 25th through 27th. More information and official conference hotels can be found at worldviewweekend.com or by phone at 417-336-0219. That's 417-336-0219.
I'm Liz Curtis Higgs, author of the Bad Girls of the Bible series. One of my favorite verses is 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Even if we love God with all our hearts and proclaim our love and worship, the truth is, our love for God flows like the tide, rising and falling with our emotions and our experiences. We feel loved, we don't feel loved. We feel forgiven, we don't feel forgiven. No wonder the definition of love isn't the changeable sentiment we offer to God, but the unchanging truth of God's sacrifice for us, dying on the cross to pay for our sins. That's real love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us.
Brought to you by the best-selling ESV Bible. For your free ESV audio Bible download, visit us at BibleForLife.org.
Welcome back to the program. Glad you are with us. It's Worldview Matters. I'm Brennan House, and we are now coming to you via cell phone because, as I told you at the beginning of the program, straight line winds were ripping through the Memphis area. I told you at the beginning of the program I was hoping we could stay online, but no, straight line winds have knocked us down. So we're going to continue the program here from my cell phone. Sorry about that. We are going to continue our discussion here with Ingrid Schlater. She's an investigative journalist, hosts her own national radio program, and her website is sliceoflaodicea.com, sliceoflaodicea.com. Is that right, Ingrid?
That's correct.
Okay. So anyway, we had the two labs going nuts at a neighborhood kid ringing the door during the program, and literally 30 seconds later, the power went off. So anyway, that is live radio, isn't it, Ingrid?
It sure is.
All right, so as I turn on my flashlight, literally, to try to read my notes, let me give this quote again. Rick Warren has said that, and this again is at the Cathedral Sentinel, which is, again, in Washington, D.C., National Cathedral, that the future of the world is not secularism, it's religious pluralism. The world is becoming more religious, not less. Christianity is growing around the world at a rapid pace through conversion, and Islam is growing at a rapid rate due to births. We're going to have to minister in context where we learn how to get along, end quote. Well, again, Ingrid, you and I are all for us getting along with people of other faiths, but we're not interested in getting along to go along or having unity if that means compromise. That's the big issue here, is it? Is not compromising for the sake of unity on the essential Christian doctrine. This is not what Paul was teaching on Mars Hill, is it?
No, it's not. And as you look at the apostles, you know, and the apostle Stephen, he spoke the truth and it cost him his life. I mean, they stoned him after he preached Christ to those Jewish leaders of that day. He was stoned to death, but he spoke truth. He was being obedient to Christ, and it cost him his life. And that's the message of the cross, the Christianity of the cross that you don't hear about from Rick Warren. If the choice is to get along with the Muslims and or denying Christ, we have to, or to preach the gospel and be obedient to Christ, we have to choose obedience. That's the message that's missing here. I'm disturbed by his talk about pluralism because Harvard University has the Pluralism Project, which actually is involved in promoting pluralism today. They claim that pluralism is, quote, not diversity alone, but the energetic engagement with diversity. Diversity can and has meant the creation of religious ghettos with little traffic between them. Today, religious diversity is a given, but pluralism is not a given. It is an achievement. They want people to, in other words, encounter and become active with those who disagree with you. So in other words, you can't just agree to disagree and be polite to your neighbor of different religious views, share Christ when you can. They say tolerance is not enough. It says that we need to know something about each other. It's too thin a foundation for the world to just have tolerance. We need to confront our fears that underlie old patterns of division and violence. Our ignorance of one another will be increasingly costly. It's coming to the table, being willing to dialogue. This is a whole page they have on pluralism and how it's not just tolerance, but energetic engagement with diversity is what pluralism is all about. And so basically what we have is we need to be, in other words, salute the other religions of faith and simply agree to disagree, maybe learn more about what they do, and not in order to witness to them, but in order to simply be part of this new pluralistic society.
And Ingrid, as you and I and Marshall Foster and others have studied
the martyred saints who have gone behind us, these guys were willing to die because they refused to preach any other Christ but a Christ that was the virgin-born, the God incarnate, and the death, burial, and resurrection, and that, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, that he is the only way. Mm-hmm. These guys have died for that. They've been burned to the stake. They have been tortured. They have been drawn and quartered. These guys, the gospel message is very, very clear, and it's not one that can be added to or taken away from, and yet we're also admonished in the scriptures over and over not to fellowship. Christianity should not be mixed with Paul's teachings. I mean, we're called to evangelize, but the scriptures are clear, are they not, Ingrid, that we're not to try to combine or be unequally yoked or combine our Christian doctrines with the religions of the world?
That's correct. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 to 18 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" Well, why doesn't the Dean of National Cathedral explain what those Tibetan monks are doing in there, why they're teaching the Jewish Kabbalah and goddess theology? It says, "For ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And if these idolaters are not promoting an unclean thing, I don't know who is. The enemy has always worked through idolatry because he wants to dethrone Christ. And so how can we cooperate with them? How can we hold hands with them until there's repentance and salvation through Christ? But Rick Warren won't be talking about that anytime soon.
Ingrid, I just read that very passage of Scripture on the air yesterday in connection with talking about the labyrinth and how the National Pastors Conference has now for a few years, at least in 2001, had a labyrinth. And in churches now, the Guidepost magazine, February 2008, as I discussed yesterday, is promoting the labyrinth. Not shocking, Guidepost is not an evangelical conservative magazine. But the point we're trying to make is that this concept of bringing in pagan and occultic things, as I said yesterday in the radio program, we would not use a Ouija board to try to contact God or have an experience with God. Then why should we contact God or try to experience God through a labyrinth? Because they're both from the occultic world, which we'd have nothing to do with.
Absolutely. That's a real good example of it, too. And that's not the only thing that's being dragged in out of pagan worship into the house of the Lord. And unfortunately, because of a lot of ignorance and because we have leaders who really have abandoned the faith in many cases that are promoting this kind of stuff, they have traded the truth for a lie, and that's why things are getting worse so quickly. There's an acceleration, Brandon. Maybe you sense it as well as you do the job you do, and there's an acceleration of this darkness. It's indisputable.
It is. I said at the beginning of the program, I can hardly keep up with it. I mean, it's you and I do this for a living. This is what we do for our jobs as well as our passion between our radio broadcasts and our websites You know, as I do, that every day it's something new. Every day I get up, it's another major situation. And again, we're talking about this not because we like to talk about Rick Warren. I don't know about you, Ingrid, but I would love to ignore him. I'm tired of talking about him. I would love to ignore him. But he has become a force to be reckoned with when you sell 30 million books, have tons of TV and money, and he's got, obviously it seems that he has Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News Channel, wrapped around his little finger, and getting lots of airtime that way. And various Fox News specials, and you have so many pastors following him, we have no choice but to talk about him, but I'm quite frankly getting very tired of talking about him, but we have no choice because of the fact that so many people find him to be someone that is credible because he wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which, while there are things in the book I certainly disagree with, the book is nothing compared to what he has said aside from the book. The book is not the best book in the world, and it's very simple, but there are some concepts in the book that I can certainly agree with. The point I'm trying to make, Ingrid, is that he used that book to gain credibility, and now because of that, he's saying things that are so far extreme. If he'd ever put those in a book to start with, he wouldn't be where he is today.
Well, that's correct. He created this arterial system through which this error that he is now promoting can flow. The purpose-driven church movement really set up a place for the poison to be disseminated to all of these churches worldwide, actually, that had gone the purpose-driven route. Once he gained credibility, he is now able to lead as the Pied Piper everywhere that he wants, and that is why we comment on what he's doing and saying. He has influence, and even if we're small voices, all we can do is continue to cry out, "This is not true, thus saith the Lord, this is what the Word of God says." His eternal Word never changes, and that's why we will continue to watch and speak out as long as God allows us to.
Well, if Don Wildman agreed with what Rick is saying, if Don Wildman had agreed with that 25 years ago, 30 years ago, he wouldn't have started the American Family Association and American Family Radio Network. He would have had no problem with what was going on within his own denomination as a United Methodist pastor. He would have said, oh, okay, well, we need to be pluralistic, and he would have compromised for the sake of all getting along and working together, but he didn't do that. But so I guess what I'm trying to point out here, Ingrid, is that there are a lot of people whose shoulders you and I stand on, who the public respects. Maybe they don't like me, maybe they don't like you, but there's a lot of people in Christendom, Don Wildman being one of them. I think of Dr. D. James Kennedy. I think of John MacArthur. Those guys came out a few years ago and signed a document stating to some of their Christian brothers who they like and were friends with that we cannot have a pluralistic view with other religions either when it comes to the gospel. Remember that agreement that MacArthur and Kennedy and Ankerberg and I think R.C. Sproul Jr., they all signed, yet Bill, I think it was Bill Bright and others were pushing this kind of an ecumenical thing. And while we love some of our Christian brothers, like the late Bill Bright and his passion for evangelism, we didn't agree with his, necessarily four spiritual laws approach, per se, versus the use of the moral law. But Bill Bright was a man who had a passion for the lost. Yet we did see D. James Kennedy and John Ankerberg and R.C. Sproul Jr. lovingly saying, guys, we can't go down this ecumenical road. You remember that whole thing in the 80s?
I absolutely do, and it set up a divergence because, you know, some went one way and the rest of them went the other way. And now we see how important it is with the explosion of the seeker-sensitive and the purpose-driven, the emerging church, why that's so important to have those doctrinal distinctives and to stand by them. Because one step in that direction, what is that line from that famous poem by James Russell Lowell? They enslave their children's children who make compromise with sin. And when you have denominations that have rejected Christ, we are not allowed to compromise on these issues.
Well, and you see Adrian Rogers drew the line too, didn't he?
Yes, yes, absolutely,
yeah,
very much so.
A lot of these guys have definitely drawn the line, so we just can't go down that road. Let's take a quick break. Let's take a little bit earlier break so I can go plug my cell phone into my car and keep that from going dead on me. So just giving a little heads up here to Devin, we're going to take a quick break. And we come back, Ingrid, let's talk about Rick Warren recently speaking for the World Economic Banking System, his promotion of the Council on Foreign Relations. Because I guess I got to ask, what is this guy's ultimate goal? He also has this peace plan. What is this national or international peace plan? And he describes himself on his website as a global strategist. I guess my question, we have to come back from the break, Ingrid, is this. Is this guy laying the foundation for a one-world religion? Is he really helping to lay the foundation for this ecumenical, pluralistic one-world church that talked about in Revelation? And does he not realize what he's doing? We'll talk about that with my guest, Ingrid Slater. This is Worldview Matters. I'm Brandon Howe, coming to you on the phone because the straight line wins, knocking out power in Memphis. We'll be right back.
This is Johnny Tata, and the older I get, the less important things on earth seem. A new wardrobe for next season, enlarging my kitchen, or checking out the sales like I used to. I just don't do those things anymore. Life is simpler, a little more basic, and I think it's because of faith. You see, through faith's eyes, the world in which we live becomes drained of substance and importance. When we look at life through the lens of faith, things around us no longer possess the glow of excitement. But faith also makes the unseen things around us, the unseen world, very real, and the visible things very unreal. Faith like that only comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Colossians 3 says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." So today, friend, set your heart and mind on things up there, more specifically on your Lord, the author and finisher of your faith.
Leadership is a decision, not a destiny. Hi, I'm John Maxwell, and here's John Hall, president of EQIP, with today's leadership moment.
Good people get criticized. No one had purer motives to help people than Jesus Christ, but his critics called him a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of sinners. If our lives are Christ-like, we can expect criticism. In fact, there are times when we should see criticism from the world around us as an endorsement that our lives have been changed by Christ. A person whose mind is polluted and whose vision is not clear cannot understand or interpret behavior based on obedience to God. So if you're living a different value system than the world around you, expect criticism. It just goes with being a person of faith in a culture that doesn't understand or value faith. I'm John Hull. For a free resource to help you on your leadership journey, visit leadershipmoment.org. That's leadershipmoment.org.
Welcome back to the program. Glad you're with us. Brennan House here. We're coming to you on our cell phone because, for those of you joining, the power has gone out in the Memphis-Tennessee area due to straight-line winds. We were on our ISDN digital line. I warned you at the beginning of the program, straight-line winds might knock us out because I saw things flickering, and sure enough, it did. We went down, but we're continuing our program talking with Ingrid Slater, talking about this new promotion by Rick Warren calling for religious pluralism. We're claiming, as we have for the last several years, that pluralism is dangerous. It's the concept and the belief that all religions are equal, all religions are the same, all values are the same. Josh McDowell has spoken extensively about the dangers of pluralism. You know, this isn't just Ingrid and Brand saying this. This has been a lot of people that you would respect, listener, who've been warning about this as well. And I guess what bothers me, Ingrid, is that a lot of times people have become more caught up in the personality than they have the principle of the matter. And if this was anybody else saying it, they would be offended. But because it's Rick Warren, they're going to let their like of him compromise their principles. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And this whole cult of celebrity within evangelicalism that's been going on for years, as long as we've had media, we've had this kind of, so maybe even before that, but we've had this cult of celebrity where we look up to these guys and people like us are dismissed because we're nobody after all. How many millions of people does Rick Warren influence and you're just a couple of hacks on the radio? What do you know, you know? But the truth is, it's we had better look beyond it and start to think more than one inch deep. The inability for Christians to think more than one level deep is a fatal flaw, and it's resulting in a lot of Christians following after these Pied Pipers who are leading them off a spiritual cliff. It's really that simple, Brandon.
It is. And your website is sliceoflaodicea.com, right?
That's correct.
And yes. You've got an article about this up on your website, and we're posting up on our website as soon as the power comes back up at ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com, ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com, Ingrid's brand-new article on this with quotes and all kinds of stuff, folks, that you can see yourself. We also have a brand-new video up on ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com where Rick was recently speaking at a conference with the World Bank, World Economic Bank. Is that what it's called? Is it the World Economic Bank? Is that what it's called, Ingrid?
It's called the World Economic Forum, and it's held
in the World Economic Forum, thank you. Tell me what that's all about. What was he doing over there speaking for that?
Yeah, well, these are the masters of the universe that assembled together to plot and plan the world's economy and to talk about how they're going to lead the world. And so they invited Rick Warren, and guess who else made an appearance? Brian McLaren.
Oh, good old Brian, who wrote the book A New Kind of Christian, and has on an interview that we have recorded that the cross and hell are false advertising for God. So he was there too, huh?
He was there too. And Davos this year featured something called a West Islamic World Dialogue with a council of 100 leaders. They were promoting dialogue and cooperation between the West and Islamic worlds. The whole purpose of it is, quote, to sustain in-depth dialogue and discourse and leverage global cooperative action with the network that is designed to do this, catalyze change and make progress in one of the most pressing global issues of our time, advance thought leadership to shape and guide the agenda of West Islam dialogue, and participate in discourse among members of a network of influential leaders with, quote, eminent knowledge. So the Masters of the Universe invite Rick Warren and Brian McLaren, two of the leading Pied Pipers of spiritual error, to one of the most influential gatherings in the world, there in Davos, Switzerland. And I'll tell you right now, this is clearly, in my mind, an agenda that is working its way out with the help of millions of mindless evangelicals who are willing to join the parade into apostasy, worldwide global apostasy. This new pluralism that redefines Christianity, completely guts it, and renders it a tool of Antichrist.
What did they call these guys, the Masters of the Universe?
I'm calling them that tongue-in-cheek.
Okay, you are. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, he goes on in a video clip that we have on our website today at ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com. We have a Rick from there, from that conference, and he's bragging about the three-legged stool that we need to have of corporations, churches, and government all working together. I mean, this guy's promoting his social gospel, which is nothing more than socialism. And he's calling for bigger and bigger government, which, of course, is going to tax us, you know, into poverty to fund his liberal bleeding heart programs. You know, I know he wants to defeat AIDS. I know he wants to end poverty, but first of all, poverty will always be with us. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't help the poor, but Jesus himself said the poor would always be with us. Some of these people are suffering poverty because of their pagan rituals, their pagan ideas, their sin. They're spreading AIDS like nuts because they refuse to abstain and have sex inside marriage. And so I'm all for reaching them, but I'm not for reaching them, even if they've done wrong and they're suffering consequences. We should still be compassionate. We should still reach out to them and help them, but we should do more than just feed them. We should bring them food and the gospel. And whenever you listen to Rick talking on these websites and these articles, particularly the interviews on the websites where he's speaking, now sometimes in the written material, he becomes a little more using Christianese. But when you see him on the TV interviews, on the blog, as far as him appearing on video, streaming video, you wouldn't know the guy's a Christian with the way he talks. You would think he works for the United Nations.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. You know, what's interesting, this is from a secular blog, someone that actually heard Rick Warren in Switzerland, and he's a journalist from a secular news site. He says, the biggest surprise of Davos so far for me, Rick Warren. Being a cosmopolitan atheist type, I'd heard of him, of course, but thought he was, well, author of a best-selling self-help book and a pastor from a megachurch somewhere. What I didn't realize is that he's been coming to Davos for years and that he can work his magic on the cynical hacks just as much as he can on his congregation at home. If you're a global leader, you have to realize that the future of the world is not secularism, he said to a panel on faith and modernity moderated by Tony Blair. There's going to be more religion, not less. You may like it, not like it, but that's the way it is. He praises Rick Warren for reaching out, ultimately, to other world religions on here. And this is what just blows my mind, is that this guy didn't get the gospel. This secularist, what if Rick had stood up and shared the true gospel that we're all hellbound sinners outside of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, and salvation is in Christ alone? He would have cleared the room in about 15 seconds.
And they wouldn't be lauding him, they would be criticizing him.
Absolutely be blasting the leadership of Davos, the World Economic Forum, for bringing this fundamentalist wing nut to speak to them. But never fear, he's been coming there for years and working his magic. He says, what kind of magic is this, Mr. Warren, that you're working with all of these leaders, world economic leaders, global leaders? He calls himself a global strategist, not a minister of the gospel. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, on his website, clearly, at rickwarren.com, he calls himself a global strategist, and now he's promoting his peace plan, and he has been for a while, and his peace plan is P-E-A-C-E. I mean, it's peace, but it's an acronym, so it's a dot after each letter. And what it stands for, Ingrid, as you very well know, but for our audience, this peace, the acronym is Promote Reconciliation, which is what he's talking about now with religious pluralism. Equip leaders, assist the poor, care for the sick, and educate the next generation. Nowhere in his peace plan do we see the proclamation of the gospel, or E. Or he could have E for in the peace could be evangelism. He could have done. The C could have been Christ alone. I mean, the guy again sounds more like he works for the UN than he does a pastor. He sounds like a UN ambassador, not an ambassador of Christ.
Yeah.
And my question is, Ingrid, is this guy knowingly or unknowingly, and I know you can't read his mind, but would you say that this guy is going a long way for laying down the foundation for what the Bible talks about in the last days of the one world religion, the one world church, and a one world economical structure?
You know, I can tell you this much. Rick Warren, when he speaks, does not strike you as being the sharpest knife in the drawer when you hear him.
No, that's true. That's true. I know you're not being mean, but it's true.
It's true. But what I mean by that is, I will tell you this much, he's not stupid. The man is brilliant. I mean, the man obviously knows and has at some point made peace, pardon the pun there, made peace with the fact that he is not sharing the gospel, that apparently doesn't even know what it is anymore. So I have to wonder. And the fact is, regardless of whether he knows it or not, the man has become a menace to the true gospel. He's become a threat to the true gospel, and in many ways it's perverted and polluted the gospel and the whole role the Christians are to have in society. So whether he knows it or not, I think it doesn't matter. The fact is, he is being used by the enemy to do the things that he is doing, and you do not get invited to the highest levels of world power and leadership unless you are in sync at some level of your spirit with what they are all about. And
well, you certainly don't get praised. You certainly don't have them praised. Let's say you could maybe get invited, But after you were invited, they wouldn't be praising you. They would be criticizing you because you wouldn't be buying into their pluralistic, worldview. But obviously he is, and now he himself is using the word, according to the Cathedral Central, the Washington National Cathedral website. He himself, Rick Warren, is promoting its religious pluralism. He says the future of the world is not secularism, it's religious pluralism. And Ingrid, you and I have for a long time have said secular humanism is a great threat to America. But the greatest threat to America is really the New Age movement and this spiritualism and mysticism, which I think the world will follow the Antichrist when he appears on the scene, and he'll be, according to the Bible, performing counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. So you have to have the world going from grasping secularism to willing to grasp spiritualism
yes.
if they're going to be so willing to follow the Antichrist who leads a one-world religion. Would that not make sense?
Well, the secularism is at its last gasp, Brandon. That's a vacuum. When you say I'm a secularist, you always say I'm a vacuum. I'm part of a vacuum because someone's going to fill that vacuum, and that's why we see the rise of the occult. Every civilization, just before it dies, goes through a phase, and you could trace this through history. You saw it in ancient Rome, and an outbreak of interest in occult and mysticism, particularly occult activity, takes place. And we are seeing this all over the West. We're seeing this throughout Western Europe. We're seeing it in America like never before. WorldNet Daily just published a whole series on witchcraft in America and the huge resurgence of interest in this. New spirituality, that's the other thing, the New Age component of that. That's why we're seeing such a huge upsurge. Secularism has no answers. It offers nothing. Whereas the lying religions, the false religions are offering a false hope, but at least it's religion. And of course, mankind was made to worship. They're not going to stay in a secularist vacuum very long. And that's why we're seeing this explosion of interest in this kind of thing, of this new paradigm, this new spirituality that's coming out where we all are able to kind of recognize we're worshiping the, quote, same life force underneath the surface while we have superficial differences, whether you're a monk or whatever, we all can agree. And that's what Washington National Cathedral has become, a pantheon to the gods of the world religions today, and it's pretty frightening to watch.
Two quick questions before we run out of time. Ingrid, did you see the article last week on our website, ChristianWorldViewNetwork.com, about the quote pastor that was kicked out of the Foursquare Gospel Association because he was had too close a tie? Yeah, it came from your website when I think I originally posted it. Too close a ties with a Wicca religion, the witches in Salem, Massachusetts, and he got kicked out for it. Now he's trying to dialogue and have a coming together with Christians and pagans and witches?
Yes, you've never seen anything more unbelievable in your life than to go to his website. It's called The Gathering. It's in Salem, Massachusetts. His name is Pastor Phil Wyman. He was thrown out of the Foursquare denomination because of his unbelievable fascination with Wicca and paganism. He, of course, couches it as dialogue, but what he says right on his own website is that we have conversions going either way all the time. He was okay with that, but he said, we just like to talk. We need to learn more and stop having National Enquirer images of witchcraft. In other words, we need to stop having such a hard view of witches and witchcraft. Time to find out what a nature religion it really is. This is just complicity. That's the only word I can think of.
Ingrid, you know, you and I have been warning about the philosophy of where Rick Warren would take us for a long, long time. Do you think now that it's become so clear and he's become so bold and blatant, now that he has his following, he becomes bolder and bolder every week, do you think a lot of people now are realizing that we were not some fundamental freaks, several years ago? Because, you know, when we had his number, you and I and several others had his guy's number a long time ago. But do you think people now are starting to realize that our research was sound back then and are joining us and being very, very wary of this guy and warning churches to quit reading his stuff and following him?
I think the Lord has used your website and used others who've been warning about this. I think there's a remnant group of believers that have ears to hear. Like the churches in Revelation, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And that is what I believe God is calling out. Come out, come out, be separate from this stuff, have no part in it. The Lord wants a chaste bride that is unspotted by this false spirituality, this filth that is posing as Christianity, that is in fact Antichrist. This is blasphemy to Christ. To have Tibetan monks in your church worshiping is blasphemy. It's blasphemy to do that kind of thing. And we take this stuff far too lightly. And I think those who really care about truth are listening, and they're leaving. They're recognizing that what you and I were warning about and have been for years has merit, biblical merit. And all we say is, don't take our word for it. Go to the scriptures.
Yeah, and do the research. And you can go to sliceoflaodicea.com, Ingrid's website, and keep up every day on what she's doing. She also writes for our website, ChristianWorldViewNetwork.com. As soon as the power comes up here in the Memphis area, We'll have her brand new column on this very topic that she and I have been talking about today on this broadcast on our website. And of course, you can share this with friends by simply going to our website, worldviewmatters.net, worldviewmatters.net, where you can hear this program again and share it with a friend. Because, Ingrid, there are a lot of people that want to know this. I had a lady call me today from Atlanta who said was interested in one of our Code Blue rallies coming up in Atlanta. And she said, you know, I've learned so much from your website and things that I once approved of and authors I approved of. I now have learned that I can't trust them because of the sound research from your people. And one thing about our people that write for us, including yourself, Ingrid, we always footnote everything, so we can go back and check our sources, don't we?
That's right. I like to put links in there to say, hey, don't take my word for it. Look at the source.
Yeah. So we encourage you to go to the website, worldviewmatters.net, to hear this program again or share with a friend, or go to ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com. And, of course, Ingrid's website is sliceoflaodicea.com, sliceoflaodicea.com. You know, Ingrid, interesting, WorldNet Daily is not a, quote, Christian website, but yet WorldNet Daily, a couple of years ago, started exposing some of this about Rick and his trip to Syria, one of the kitchens of terrorism. And it's interesting when you have websites that may be run by Christians, but they're like WorldNet Daily is, Joe Farah, but they're not. It's not a, quote, Christian website. And this guy at WorldNet Daily, Joe Farah, has been bolder and stronger than some of the Christian leaders in America of talking about what Rick's been up to.
Yes, and I think his interaction with Mr. Warren and his tendency to twist and chuck and jive as you're trying to get him to give you a straight answer, all those factors of character came out very clearly as he talked about his experiences with Rick Warren in conversation and exchanging emails on some of these issues. He's noticed it. I'm glad there's someone else that's reporting on it. It simply underscores what we've been saying.
And, of course, you, I don't know if you were, but I know I was contacted by through email. I know Janet Folger has been contacted by Rick Warren through email. So he tried to reach out to a couple of us to get us to back off, but it hasn't worked. Has he ever contacted you, Ingrid?
No, he didn't. But when both of you called him to repentance and basically said no dice, they never heard from him again.
Yeah, well, we responded back, both of us, very nicely and said, hey, we can have a conversation. Let me ask you a few questions. We posed those questions to him. He never responded back. So there you go. Ingrid, thanks for being with us and hanging through all the different turns and twists of this radio show.
Oh, thanks, Brandon. It's good to be with you today.
Ingrid Slater with sliceoflaodicea.com. I'm Brandon House. We'll be back online as soon as the power comes back up tomorrow. But from my cell phone, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Worldview Matters with Brandon House. Join us again next time for another Worldview Matters.